We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMI 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God and been hosting the Refresh Radio program now for about 3.5 years. And we want to say thank you to the people at Jits Concrete, 536-5804. For their continued support. And just about every week I'm hearing reports from them of people that they're interacting with that listen to this radio broadcast. And so I want to say thank you to those who are listening, and thank you for your support that keeps this word coming across the airwaves here Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, or 10:30 of a morning as well on 1510 a.m. and 5 o'clock of an evening. So thank you for your support, and if you need any block or concrete work done, give Jits Concrete a call, 536-5804, area code 321. You know, with some telephone providers now, you have to dial that area code every time you want to get in touch with somebody. So 321-536-5804. If you don't think that you need block or concrete work done at this time, but you may in the future, why don't you write that number down and tuck it away in a safe place? 321-536-5804. Now, I will tell you this, the dangerous thing about tucking things away in a safe place is remembering where that safe place is. A lot of times I put things away in a safe place and then I go start looking for it, and I've tucked it away so well that I have a difficult time finding it. A little over a week ago, I had gone to a conference, and they said, okay, you're going to need this card wherever you go. And it's like, okay, I'm going to tuck it away in a safe place. And they actually gave me two of them, and I stuck them in the exact same spot. That's probably bad strategy on my part, but eventually I found it, did the same thing with my hotel room key. It was like, okay, I've got to come up with a different strategy of tucking it away in a safe place. But if you need to get in contact with Jits Concrete, 536-5804, and do a better job than I do at tucking things away at a safe place. We are going through our declarations that Pastor Craig Groeschel out of Life Church in Oklahoma has put together, and we've been talking about some declarations that are applicable to both men and women, and then yesterday we started doing some that that he specifically put together for women, but they apply to both. Because of Jesus, I lack nothing, and God has given me everything I need to do for what he has called. Today, I want to share with you some declarations that have to do, this first declaration has to do with the words that come out of your mouth. I believe that our words are very indicative of what's going on in our heart. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if we really want to see what is going on, now this doesn't mean that we're able to tell, you know, whether there's cholesterol buildup or anything like that that is going on. You need different tests for that. But if you want to know the condition of your innermost being, the indicator are the words that come out of your mouth. It has to do with how much complaining you do. It has to do with how you respond to authority. It has to do with whether you speak life or you speak death, whether you speak faith or whether you speak fear. And so I encourage you today, whether you speak complaining or whether you speak praise, a lot of these things have to do with the words that are coming out of your mouth. So today we're going to touch, first of all, on a couple of passages. Both of them will be in the book of Acts. The first one's going to be chapter 20. The second is going to be in chapter 4. While you are turning in your scriptures, or if you're driving down the road, don't be turning in your Bible. Don't be turning on your Bible app or anything like that. You can go back and listen to this on demand. I also discovered something else as I was looking on our website, merrittassembly.com, that We have a link. If you go to Meet the Staff, you will find a pic, and you click on that on the menu button, then you'll see my picture come up, and you click on that picture and it will come up to the Refresh Radio program, and it'll say click on this link, which will take you to the WMIEFM.com website. At the bottom of that page is there is an on-demand feature where you can click on that, type in a date, and you can listen to the radio program. So if you can't remember WMIEFM.com, go to our website, meritassembly.com, and you can connect to this radio program. If you miss it on the radio, you can still get it on the on-demand feature there on the WMIEFM. So we do have a link provided. It's a link to a link to a link. And I just don't have the technology, capabilities to be able to make that any simpler for you. I apologize. I'm sure somebody out there knows how to do that better than I do, but that's the best that we could do to make it, possible for you. Acts chapter 20, verse number 32 says this: "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The declaration here that Pastor Groeschel has put together is, "I speak encouraging, life-giving words and build others up." As I was looking at this, I was reflecting on the nature that this world is all, this world system is all about tearing others down. And God's kingdom is about building people up. And those are two contrasting philosophies. And so we need to identify which kingdom is ruling our tongue. Now, James tells us that no man can tame the tongue. This is not about self-control. This is about a heart change. This is about God transforming our heart so that our heart has better words that come out of our mouth. So, do you speak encouragement or do you speak discouragement? Are you a cheerleader of those around you? Are you an encourager of those around you, or do you constantly complain? Now, I will make a confession to you, and that is this. I cannot stand to be too long in the presence of people who complain constantly. Moses had greater endurance for that than what I do. You see, I believe that if something is revealed to you, if there's a problem, your job is not to complain about it. Your job is to pray about a solution for that. Okay? And so several weeks ago, I received something in the mail, and it said, "I wanted to offer you some constructive criticism." And I want you to know it was criticism, but it wasn't constructive. And just because someone labels it constructive criticism doesn't necessarily mean that it is. I tell you how I go about doing that if I have to speak correction into someone's life. The first thing that I do is I make it a matter of prayer. And my prayer is specifically this: God, I want to do what you would have me to do. I want to do it, and I want my flesh not to have any influence on the words that come out of my mouth. So I begin to pray myself into self-control. I pray for my heart to be right, because I've been there where people had plenty of negative things to say and not anything positive to say. Been there, done that, got the scars, didn't get a t-shirt, got the scars. And so you and I, we have the privilege of speaking encouragement and building others up. Do you realize what one compliment can do to transform a person's day? It should become a lifestyle for us. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. So the other thing that we need to do is not only speak encouraging words, encourage people to step out in faith, encourage people to live life in obedience, encourage them to learn, to grow, and encourage them to utilize their gifts for God. I've told you on here before that my first ministry position, I was told that I was worthless and I would never amount to anything in the ministry. I'd never make it in the ministry. I needed to go find a different line of work. I probably could have made more money through the years, but I wouldn't have been as fulfilled if I had followed that person's direction. And fortunately, that person that discouraged me did not have the final say. There was another person that came along and said, Bobby, I've known you all my life, and he's one of the few people on the planet that gets to call me that. And he said, I've known you all your life. I know the call of God on your life. You are going to make a wonderful ministry. That man is the pastor I grew up under. He's 91 plus years old, and he's still one of my biggest cheerleaders to this day. Every week, my parents talk to him, or just about every week. And every week he says, tell that boy. That's what he refers to me. You know, I'm almost the same age he was when he retired from our church before he moved on to some other assignments in ministry. He later went on to be a missionary in Hong Kong before the communist takeover. He was just really, really a gifted man of God. But he still calls me that boy. You tell my boy that I can't wait to see him. And I sure wish I could come down there. He said, I've preached at his church before, and I'm going to get to see him later this summer. But he spoke life-giving words. When someone has told you that you're worthless, and all of a sudden there's somebody else that said, you know what, I think you need a second opinion. I think you need to hear what God has to say. And so there's not only life-giving words, but there are words that build people up. I've literally had people tell me that there was a certain preacher and they loved to listen to this preacher, and it was specifically for this cause. Because he builds people up, he doesn't tear them down. And we see in this world that there are more than enough demolition experts. There are more than enough destroyed relationships and destroyed lives. You know, I'm sure that there are some licensing that is necessary and required for demolition experts to come and bring down a skyscraper. But demolition can literally take seconds. You can bring down a massive building in a very short period of time. But it takes a lot of skill, engineering, manpower to build things up. And I believe that God wants you to be a skyscraper for him. I believe that he wants you to be a person of influence, a gifted person that has found their calling, their place in the body of Christ, and they are being you are being utilized for his glory. And so, you know, this declaration, I will speak encouraging, life-giving words and build others up, that is a gift that has universal application. You can do that in the church. Sometimes you need to do that to yourself. Some people think that you're crazy if you're talking to yourself, but I want you to know David did it. Some people say you're crazy. You know, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself, but you are crazy if you answer yourself. And I tell him this, look, David did it in the scriptures. He said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He would talk to himself. He'd ask himself questions. He'd answer his own questions. He would encourage himself. He would strengthen himself in the Lord. So it has applications with you. It has applications for your family. It has applications in the church. It has applications as far as your workplace go. I challenge you to do this. Set an experiment up if you want. And say, I wonder how people would respond to me if I didn't speak encouraging words and set a time frame and say, I wonder how they're interacting with me today. And then after that, set the same time frame and make it your goal that wherever you go, you are going to speak life-giving, encouraging, and edifying words to those around you, and then see how they respond to you. And you will find that people that are, see, people generally don't like to change, but if they realize that there is a benefit to the change, sometimes change can become natural. And when we speak life-giving, encouraging, and edifying words, it begins to have a change in people's hearts. It is sowing the word of God. Now, I'm not talking about lying to them. I'm not talking about flattering. I'm talking about speaking things into existence before they are. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, Almighty man of valor. He said that to Gideon when he was kneeling down, hiding from the enemy just to try and get enough grain together to make a loaf of bread. He wasn't acting like a mighty man of valor. He did not think of himself as a mighty man of valor, but God was calling him a mighty man of valor. And so don't be afraid to start telling people, you know what? You are really, really gifted at this that you do. You are the very best at this that I know. And then all of a sudden there's comparing that goes on and all that sort of stuff. And so you've got to allow some time for people to respond to this. One of the best people in the scriptures at being an encourager was a guy by the name of Joseph. Joseph. And I want to take you to Acts chapter 4, verse number 36. You see, if I told you about this guy by the name of Joseph, you wouldn't know who I was talking about. But Joseph was his given name. It was his birth name. And Joseph was also called something different. The apostles gave him a different name. In verse number 36 of Acts chapter 4, it says, "And Joseph," or Joseph, at the bottom of the page, there's a footnote calling him Joseph, "who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated "the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So here is this man by the name of Joseph, and he becomes a believer, and he was a Levite. He puts his faith in Jesus Christ. A Levite meant that he was one of the priests. And so he recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, and he comes and he begins to interact with the disciples, and he meets a financial need. And he becomes so well known to the apostles that they said, you know what, we need to change your name, and we're going to call you Barnabas. Now, Barnabas, it says, is translated son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. And Barnabas was the one who encouraged Saul to get into the ministry, Saul who later became Paul. Barnabas was the one who encouraged John Mark when Paul wasn't ready to take him on the second missionary journey. Barnabas was the one that said, look, you've got value in the ministry, and I will separate from Paul so that I can encourage you. John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark as directed by Peter. And so he was always encouraging people in their walk with the Lord. Etymologically, from the word structure, Barnabas actually can mean son of the prophet as well, that there was a calling forth into relationship with God. And so Bar is the part that means son. And so allow God to use you to speak prophetically into people's lives for edification, for encouragement, for comfort. Allow God to speak through you. You and I can do that. There's a couple of times in the scripture this verse is something that I have etched in my memory. And it says, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. And so I find bitterness to be toxic. It's not going to remain isolated. It's going to try and metastasize throughout your entire being. And so when you are bitter, that bitterness is going to begin to come out of your mouth. It's going to be reflected in the way, in the things that you say. So don't just take complaining at face value and say, well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, I've just got a better perspective at it than this. It doesn't take any special skills to be a gifted complainer. The world operates by the philosophy that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you look, however, at the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness, you find that the complaining and the murmurers got God's attention, but for all the wrong reasons. And so I want to get God's attention for the right reason. I want to have words of faith that come out of my mouth that says, look, I know who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus say, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And now the foundation is laid, and upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I would like to challenge you to begin to analyze what's going on in your heart. Do you speak encouraging, life-giving words that edify other people? Now, the knee-jerk reaction is to take this concept and say, okay, that means that there's never going to be a word of correction that comes along. And that's not the case at all. God disciplines those that he loves. And so sometimes there is correction. I don't like getting in trouble. I've never enjoyed it, don't like it. And I will tell you of an episode of correction that happened in my life, goodness, a long time ago, 27 years ago. It'll be 27 years ago in August. I can still recall exactly when it was. It was the end of August, the latter part. And I went to a meeting, and it was a review, a ministerial review. And I was brand new to Florida, didn't understand how things operated in this district compared to the last district. Nobody had ever told me that there were, you know, really different guidelines and things like that. And so I was continuing to operate the same way that I had previously. And I went to this review, and that's when I found out that, in no uncertain terms, that things operated differently in Florida than they did where I'd come from in Texas. And when I mean no uncertain terms, I mean no uncertain terms. I had done the right thing. I just did it in the wrong process. And so I grabbed a friend of mine as after that correction was spoken into my life, and I grabbed him and I said, I'm making myself accountable to you that if I ever need correction in this area of my life again, that I give you the authority to bring about the necessary adjustment by kicking my rear end if you have to. That's how serious I take correction. I don't want to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And there were a lot of people, I mean, the person that spoke that correction into my life, not the person that I had that conversation with that I just told you about, but the one who brought to my attention the need for correction, he was a very intimidating person. There were people that I have said that they were men of faith, 364 and a half days a year. The half day that they struggled with faith was the day that they were meeting with this particular individual. But I tell you what, that man, for me, became a tremendous resource. He was somebody who spoke words of life and words of wisdom to me. And I got to where I valued him as a friend. You know, the wounds of a friend are faithful. And so I have a completely different attitude towards correction than other people. Now, I don't like getting in trouble, but I do realize that if God has brought correction into my life, it's because he loves me and he wants me to be the best that I can be. Monitor your words today. Check them out. You know, video or audio record yourself if you have to. And find out, you know, what kind of words come out of your mouth. Are you building people up or are you tearing people down? Are you encouraging people? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? If you don't like the results, ask God to change your heart. I want to pause here at the end of the broadcast and remind you that coming up this coming Sunday, we will be having our regular service Sunday morning. Now, our platform is going to look entirely different this weekend. It's going to be quite compact. It's going to be a great week. But Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we are going to have Kids Turn Ministries. The Lusher family is going to be with us. Elmer is going to be with us. And for any of the kids who have been in Brevard County, this family's been ministering in Brevard County in various churches for almost two decades now. These are the best kids evangelists that I have ever come across, and I have come across a lot. I have come across some that were phenomenal. I've come across some that they loved kids. There's a life-giving declaration for you. They loved kids. But these people bring an excellence to children's ministry that I guarantee you the kids are going to learn about God. They're going to have a great time doing it, and God's going to touch and change their hearts. So this is my personal invitation for you to bring your kids. Listen, there are people who travel just if this group is in the area, they will bring their kids to hear them because they are gifted of God. So if you're in Cocoa, if you're in Melbourne, if you're in Satellite Beach or any of the beach communities, come and experience what God has in store for us this coming week with Kids Turns Ministries. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.